Well, all right. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? All right. Well, welcome to Gateway. This is week one of the series, Parenting, A Beautiful Way to Ruin Your Life. I love it, right? Listen, no other, that is as true of a sentence as I've ever heard any sentence ever in my life. So we're starting a series on parenting, and some of you here are not parents, and that's okay. There's going to be principles for everybody throughout this, but most of us have nieces and nephews. Most of us have other adults that we hang out with that need parenting sometimes. There are a lot of principles that can be taken with this, but the first, the biggest one is parenting yourself, especially if you're young, don't have kids yet, maybe one day you might. Parent yourself. Become the person that the person is looking for, right, that your future spouse may be looking for. That's a big part of parenting yourself as well. So don't tune out during this series. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about how to fix your kids. Mine are pretty good. So again, same with the marriage series we did last. They've asked the expert to come up here first. So as long as your child is under 8 and 11, I have some experience. So listen, if your house is anything like ours, it is fast-paced and going crazy all the time, right? There's very little time for silence. Finn, our son, he's 11. He was born in 2011. And he immediately became a drain on our finances, on our patience, and sometimes our marriage. So this is, we went through a marriage series right before this one to prepare us for this one here. But let me tell you something. When we say this sentence, children are a beautiful way to ruin your life, it is true. Katie and I had such a good thing going before Finn. I think we went on 4 or 5 cruises, just the two of us, before we had kids, right? If you have kids, you understand how difficult it is to just leave the house when you have kids, right? It's everything becomes so much more complicated. So we had Finn, and even before we had Finn, he became an inconvenience. He came 3 weeks early, and so we weren't ready, right? We didn't have all of the things put in the places and in the car and that we needed, but we figured it out, right? And then week one of his life, my wife is trying to figure out, you know, leading up to Finn being born. She wasn't concerned, really. I mean, she wanted to be able to breastfeed, but she's like, if it doesn't work, she heard all kinds of stories about if it doesn't work, it does work, it doesn't, whatever. It's difficult. And so she's like, okay, if it doesn't work, no big deal. Well, it wasn't working, and it became a big deal. All of a sudden, it was a big deal. But we figured out that he was tongue-tied. So maybe you've heard this, that phrase, tongue-tied. The thing on the bottom of your tongue, it was too tight. And so week one, we go to the doctor. And this doctor says he's tongue-tied. The little flap is too tight. We can do surgery and repair this if this is a big deal for you guys. We can schedule a couple days, schedule surgery. Everything will be taken care of. And we're like, oh my goodness, you know, our brand new, not even a week old little baby is going to have surgery. And then he said, or I can just take care of it real quick right now. And we're like, well, those are two very different things. And we are brand new, no experience. And so we asked probably what everybody else would ask. What would you do if this was your child? If this was your precious little bundle of inconvenience, right? And so he basically just like didn't give us time to think about it. He reached into this drawer, got a scalpel, and lifted up Finn's little tongue and cut it. And we were like, and so like blood is rushing down his face. But it worked, all right? I lost 10 years of my life, I think. But it worked. Everything was fine. It worked out, right? Now, then Finn, he's under 6 months old. He's probably getting close to 6 months old. And he's got this goopy eye thing that keeps happening. And we don't know. So we take him to the doctor. The doctor says, okay, Let's try these things. Rub it this way and put this, you know, because he has a clogged tear duct is what's going on. So just, you know, massage it this way. He's like, we're going to work on this because we don't do surgery on tear ducts or anything with children that includes anesthesia because under a year is super dangerous. So we're like, okay, cool. Well, we'll massage the little tear duct and we'll work the things out, right? And it didn't work. So we went back to the doctor and he said, oh, we're going to have to do surgery on this kid. And we're like, well, you just said it was super dangerous to put the kid under with anesthesia. And he's like, yeah, but he's probably going to lose his eye. So we're like, okay, whatever, that'll be fine. So 6 months old, Finn has surgery on his little tear duct. He goes like Roto-Rooter or something, I think is what they use. So he turns 2 years old. And we still have, like, he's still with us. Like, we haven't broken him all the way. He's 2 years old, and we see this pattern start to happen. He has a fever. I think it was once every 3 weeks he has a fever. And it was a pretty high fever. And my wife worked part-time at the time, and she worked one day a week. And it was on Wednesday. And this kid got a fever every 3 weeks on a Wednesday. And the only reason that we recognized this pattern because she had to call out of work or I had to call out of work every single third Wednesday. And so we take him to the doctor and they're just like, ah, oh, you know, some kids are just sick. That's all. Oh, I'm about to fall over. Some kids are just sick. And we're like, no, like it's got to be more than that, right? So then we go to Augusta and we're trying to figure this thing out. Turns out he has this autoimmune thing that's happening. And I could name it. I mean, I couldn't name it because I don't, it's long. But he's got this autoimmune situation. So as a two-year-old, about to turn three, we had to take his tonsils out. That was part of it. And then, you know, from there, they were thinking the symptoms might lessen or even go away. Well, they lessened, but he still deals with this thing that he has. Now, he doesn't have a fever every third Wednesday, which is nice. But this dude has been a hassle since day one. Do you know, let me tell you, and I'm not lying to you. Right now, my son is at home sick. And he's been sick for like 6 weeks. We found out the other day that he has mono. Like, he got COVID. And this autoimmune thing that he has, he catches more and he gets sicker. He's more dramatic than the normal kid, I guess. So he got COVID, I guess. I told the staff, I said, hey, everybody, I need to let you know. Everybody was exposed to COVID 8 weeks ago. So whatever you need to do about that, you guys go ahead and do it. But apparently he got COVID and then got mono from this. I guess, it, you know, whatever happens medically, whatever. But so we're like trying to figure this thing out. We're taking him back and forth to the doctor. Why is this kid not getting better? Turns out he has mono. This kid, and so now he's homeschooling. He's on this, it's called hospital homebound because he was getting so far behind. The truancy officer actually came to our house, which was fun. I think she was being nice and just kind of helping us out. But my gosh, kids are a beautiful way to ruin your life. And if you disagree, you don't have kids. Now with Olive, our other child, who was born in 2000, I don't remember, because I think I was dealing something with Finn. I was... Like, we really haven't had time to pay attention and learn what her problems are because we've been so distracted by Finn. So I'm sure she's fine, but I'm not sure. But we were constantly growing up, when our kids are growing up, constantly trying to figure out what to do, constantly reacting to whatever was happening to them, right? And I'm going to tell you, not only was he just this massive medical inconvenience, but the first month of his life, we had to buy a new car. Because we just found out, oh, so he was born in October. Well, November, we're going to my parents' house, and we don't have room for us two, for the little tiny kid, and all of the little tiny kid's equipment. Like, so we had this little Nissan Versa that got like 400 miles to the gallon, and we had to get rid of it and buy something bigger. But we're constantly trying to figure out what to do, constantly reacting to whatever is coming up. Reacting to the changes that come with different stages of development. You know, we'd figure him out, and then he would get a fever. We'd figure him out, like get the patterns, the naps, and the eating, and all the stuff, right? And then he would start teething. We'd figure him out, and then it's time to take a nap away. Like, it was constant trying to figure this out. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a new parent, and I know we have a few, if you're a new parent, it seems like at the beginning, maybe you're not as depressed as I was about the effects of the baby, but it seems like this is my life now. This is horrible. I can't say that out loud, but oh man. And somebody said to me, really early on in Finn's life, somebody said, I don't even remember. I wish I knew who this was. If you're here, come find me because I want to give you a hug. I've told this to so many people after this, but it won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. And this applies to a lot of different things that we go through in life. It won't always be like this. And it's not. It's gotten much worse and more expensive. So they were right. So Katie and I read a parenting book. We figured, you know, 8 and 11, it's time to figure this thing out, right? So we read a parenting book. Andy Stanley and his wife Sandra put a book out just recently called Parenting, Getting It Right. And this book did a couple things for me. First thing is this, we did not feel like total failures as parents. I don't know if you've read a parenting book. It makes you feel like you're doing everything wrong sometimes, right? Like, oh man, I don't do that. They're like living in a fantasy world. There's no way that's real life. But this one did not make us feel like we were failures. And a lot of the principles we're gonna talk about today and over the next few weeks come from this book. But it was actually very helpful. What it did though is it put some words to some things that we were feeling that we didn't know how to put it into a sentence or, you know, put words around it, right? So it did that, which is great. And then we learned that we needed to be more intentional about parenting with the end in mind. And so we knew that we were supposed to parent well, right? Teach our kids principles and teach them scripture and bring them to the church and let them do everything else, right? Like that's we knew those things, but it gave us some good things to think about. So I would encourage, grab that book if you're a young parent or middle of the road parent. It's good. It's called Parenting, Getting It Right. Proverbs 22:6. This is a verse that we've used a good bit talking about parenting, but it says this: start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And this verse stressed me out for a long time until I preached on it one time, and I actually studied in the original meaning and where it comes from. This is an important verse. But how do we do what it says in Proverbs 22:6? Well, first we need to understand what it is saying. The main thing that it's saying here is this: figure out who my kids are as people, how are they built, and encourage them and send them in that direction. How is your brain made up? And so there's a few things in this verse right here. So what does that mean? Figure out who my kids are, send them in that direction. Well, number one, understand that they were carefully and wonderfully made by God for a purpose. So when you're to start your children off in the way they should go, knowing that when they're old, they won't, I'm going to go back to the King James because that's how I memorize, right? They won't depart from it. So what does that mean? Okay, so I understand my child, carefully, wonderfully made child, made by God for a purpose. I understand that, okay? And then their brains are wired a certain way. We have two kids. Finn has this engineer black and white brain. Olive, spaghetti, I think. Textbook, first child, good grades, like everything comes easy. He's just like, man, he's a great kid. And then Olive, sweetheart, she has a sweetheart, but she's all over the place. She is an artist, she's more of an artist. She's going crazy all the time. She's emotional. I don't know how to deal with girls. And she is definitely one. She had fake nails on most of her fingers all day yesterday, but they kept falling off. But their brains are wired a certain way, and we have to figure them out as individuals. And this takes time. This takes time as parents. We really have to be intentional about this. And this is, if you're parenting yourself, it's the same thing. Okay, who am I? How am I wired? How am I built? This is the same thing. It takes a little bit of time. So what do we mean when we say parenting with the end in mind? Because it says start your child off in the way they should go, right? Well, we're starting them where? How? Where are we sending them, right? So what does that mean? Well, who do you want them to be? Who do you want them to be when they become adults? What's the goal? What's the end game? Who do you want them to be when they become adults? How do I determine which way to send them? It's a great question. And this is, it's so bottom shelf. It's so elementary, I think. But sometimes we just don't put into words, or we don't take the time to figure it out. So we have to hit the pause button. Because like I said, if you're anything like us, it is crazy and chaotic in your house, going constantly. So if we don't take time to pause and consider the direction that we're parenting, we may one day find that we've parented in the wrong direction. If we're constantly reacting, right? This is important. We need to spend time on this. As parents, what direction am I sending my kids? What direction are we sending our kids? As individuals, where am I headed? Where am I sending myself now that I'm responsible for myself, right? You can't take anyone to a place that you're not going. So as parents, this is important. We just talked about marriage. It is important for us to be going in the right direction as well. We can't just rely on things that we say to our kids and we're living a different life because they see that. We can't just rely on the church to teach them what they need to learn because that's not enough. Where are we taking ourselves, and can we bring our kids along with us? So, pause. Get away from the chaos. Get a babysitter if needed. This may take a few outings, actually, to learn about this or to figure out where do we want to end up? Where do we want our children to be when they grow up? Side note, it is extremely important for parents to be on the same page about these things. It's extremely important. This will take time, and it will not naturally just happen. Let me tell you something. Katie Martin and Sam Martin have very different philosophies on some parenting things. We have very different philosophies on parenting. And some of the differences, it was funny because in this book right here, it outlines some things that we need to do as parents, and this is a better way to act, maybe the better way to discipline or whatever it is, you know. And it was, some of it was not how I do it, which was not helpful for my argument. But we have very different philosophies. But guess what? In front of the kids, we're on the same page. We're on the same team. We agree 100%. And we'll work it out. I'll bring her over to my side eventually. But in front of the kids, we are united. Have you guys you've seen this thing where, you know, one child will go to one parent, ask them a question, and they won't quite get the answer that they want, so they go to the other child? Like, we are on the same page. And we've gotten to know when the kids are doing that, we recognize it, and we make sure that they know we are on the same team. The answer will be the same. And if you trick us, it's going to be bad. It's going to be way worse. The studies show that a lack of unity in the home creates anxiety for kids because they are unsure of the rules and what matters and what doesn't. The anxiety then contributes to further behavioral issues. So without being on the same page, you create a very unsafe environment for children. So we have to be on the same page. And next week, we're going to talk about four stages of parenting and what the early years look like, middle, you know, and then on. So don't miss next week as well. It's going to be great. And the next 3 weeks should be really good. But make time to get on the same page about the goals. Where are we going? Where are we headed? How are we getting there? That kind of stuff, right? Newsflash, real quick. The direction that you're headed heavily influences where you end up. That's genius. I wrote that all by myself. The direction that you're headed heavily influences where you end up. So have a goal. Work towards the direction that you want, the end game, right? The place where you want to end up. If you don't prayerfully choose your destination, it will be chosen for you. This is true every day. And we see it in our society, all over the place. If you do not prayerfully consider and choose your destination, it will be chosen for you. Relationally, emotionally, spiritually, academically, it will be chosen for you. it will be chosen for your kids. Why is it so important to be careful about the direction that we're sending our kids? Here's why. 1 Peter 5:9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Because let me tell you something. If we don't find a way to have uncomfortable conversations sometimes, to know where we're going and parent our children in that direction, society will bring them away with them. They will grab a hold of them and they will parent them for you. This is happening all over the place. And it's been happening for decades. I mean, since the beginning of time. But man, right now, it is a crucial time, I think, to parent your children and have some potentially uncomfortable conversations. There are multiple voices around them every single day that are bringing them in a direction that you may not agree with, that you may not want them to go in. But if you're not parenting intentionally, somebody else will. Parenting without a destination leads to reactive parenting. We react to what's happening instead of getting out in front of it. You know the conversations that are being had at school. Listen, you could not have planned this. Yesterday, we taught Olive the F word, like the real one, because she had heard it and she didn't know what it meant. And she was using it. She knew it was bad, though. She was cautious. She was kind of testing it out, but she didn't know what it meant. So just last night, she came over to me and whispered, and she said, "Mom wants to know if it's okay if I learn what the F word means." See, I'm like, if she tells you, yeah, that sounds great. If she tells you, you're the girl. I got the boy. So just last night, holy cow. Anyway, proactive parenting leads towards a predetermined destination. Proactive parenting. We could have said, you know what? No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't say it. It's fine. But then somebody else will teach her. I took Finn out for a steak dinner. It was probably about a year ago or so. And we had the talk. We talked about how to treat women, how to treat yourself. We talked about boundaries. We talked about all kinds of things. And we ate steak. Because we were men that day. Me and my 10-year-old. And then we listened to a comedian that has a great bit on some things that was funny for us to listen to. I can't tell you all of what it was, but he explained some things in a nice way, in a funny way. But anyway, proactive parenting leads towards a predetermined destination, which is so important because I'm telling you, their friends, society, TV, Hollywood, they are bringing them. They are teaching them. We have to get ahead of that. The book that we read, the parenting book by Andy Stanley and his wife Sandra, has a very good perspective on this subject in particular. Their direction that they were pointing towards was very relational. It was very relational. Where they wanted their kids to be at the end of the, you know, parenting, right, when they become adults, is one of the things is they wanted them to have a great relationship with each other. And with parents, they wanted them to hang out even when they didn't have to. That was part of their goal, their relationships with God and their relationships with each other. And so that went trickled right down into how we parent as little kids. How do we parent our little kids? How do we parent them when they break relationships, when they do things that they shouldn't, right? That was important. That was them. Now, last week, I got to go out of town for 2 days. I spent one night with my family, my mom and my dad and my 3 brothers. It was tons of fun. I have a brother who is living the dream. He's single. He has two airplanes. He's a pilot. And he lives in a hangar in this neighborhood. It's all hangars with little apartments built inside. He has this little side-by-side, like off-road vehicle. He has a little off-road, like a on-road, off-road motorcycle. He has two cars, a truck and a car. He has two airplanes. He has a wood shop in there because he's a woodworker. He's got his mechanic side in the hangar. It's like this big warehouse, right? I mean, it's just, he's living the dream. Not that I'm jealous at all, because I have a great life. But this is where we stayed. We hung out over here at his place. We went flying. We shot guns. My mom was so excited to have us together. She was cooking for us. I mean, just, she was living the dream. And it was a lot of fun. And as I'm preparing for this message, I can look back and I can see how my parents were intentional about relationships, about how important it was. You know, I saw a video this week talking about parents. They made Saturday nights so much fun at their house, and their kids could invite all of the friends, whoever they wanted to come over. But Saturday nights were going to be awesome. And little did the kids know, but they were creating an environment at their house that was great because they wanted the kids to hang out at home because it's a safe environment, right? Saturday night. We all know nothing good happens after 8 p.m. It's a sliding rule. As I get older, it's earlier. But this was their goal. They were parenting in a certain direction. They were being intentional about where they were parenting, right? And as I look back, this is my house was open to everybody. My parents made it a welcoming, awesome place. And guess what? Katie's parents did the same exact thing. They had all of her friends were welcome and just had free reign of the fridge and come over and hang out, which is great. You don't explain to your kids why you're doing what you're doing, right? But you're parenting with the end in mind. You're parenting on purpose. And this is cool. And this is what I experienced last weekend, hanging out with my family. We got to hang out, shoot stuff, eat stuff, I mean, fly stuff. What else is there to do, right? The results you have with your children will be subject to what's called the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest, right? The Bible and the laws of nature definitely complement each other here. Here's what it says. You reap what you sow, and results take time and work. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So if we're parenting towards a purpose, on purpose, we're intentional, right? And the original readers of this scripture would relate to this teaching because it was agricultural culture, right? Now, I go to Publix for my crops, and they do a great job of preparing and putting in the work, rinsing them off, and presenting them nice to me, right? But back in this time, you would plant, and then you would wait. You would water, and you would wait. You would fertilize, you would wait. You would protect, and you wait, and you wait. And then you had this harvest. But it was a lot of work, and you had to be intentional. And also, if you planted rhubarb, I don't know if you plant rhubarb or not, but then you're going to get rhubarb, right? What you plant, you get. There's no question. This isn't up for debate, right? If you don't plant intentionally, nothing's going to happen. We have a garden in the back of our house. 3 or 4 years ago, we put up a little fence. We got a couple raised beds, a couple little areas for other things. And now it looks like a forest. Like it's just taken over. Nothing. We never harvested anything. Our lives got a little chaotic, a little crazy. And now it's just basically, it blocks the view from the road in our house. That's the intention of that area right now. We weren't intentional. I'm also, you know, I'm not a farmer. I figured out. I thought maybe I was, but apparently I'm not. But this too, as you're parenting, as you're waiting for the harvest, for the results, right? Don't grade your parenting until the crop fully comes in. And this doesn't happen at 13. It's not even at 18. Don't grade your parenting. Don't view yourself as failing until at least 23 to 25 years old. I have personal opinions on what happens before 23 to 25 when your frontal lobe is fully developed. I think it should be illegal to get married before your brain is functioning like it should, right? I think that, like, looking back, I said to my father-in-law, I don't know, it was probably a few months ago now, I was like, what were you thinking? What in the world? I was a bonehead, had no idea what I was doing, and you gave your little princess to this dude? Like, what? My daughter, I'm gonna parent better. I'm doing it better than that. There is no way. But holy cow, that's so scary, isn't it? Your brain's not fully developed until you're 23 or 25 years old. Unfortunately, though, we have the ability to look back, but we do not have the ability to go back. And so where you are now, be intentional with your parenting. Now listen, it's also not too late to start. Wherever you are, it's not too late to start. Where do you want to end up? And start working in that direction. Where do you want to end up? And start working in that direction in a loving way. And this is going to look different for every stage of life, right? But it's a course correction. I didn't really realize that I needed to be more intentional or start with the end in mind. Like, this makes a lot of sense. I'm glad I'm learning this. Okay, let's start now, right? Now, start now, because the older they are, the longer this will take. But this applies to all of our relationships. Look at every relationship, working relationships, how am I parenting myself, people around, right? Nieces, nephews, my kids. Where do we want to end up and start working in that direction? Parents, whatever stage you are in today, kids, single people, wherever you are, we have homework for this week, right? And we're going to come back next week and talk a little bit more about it. But week number one, here is your homework. Get away from the noise and the chaos. Put your phone down. Get out of it. And be intentional. Start the conversation. Where have we been parenting? Have we been parenting with the end in mind? Or have we been reacting? Have we been parenting with the end in mind, or have we been simply reacting? That's question number one. And question number two, what direction should we be sending our kids? What is our goal? For our kids, for myself, for us as a married couple, for me as a parent, what direction should we be sending our kids and ourselves? These are really important questions, because we don't know what direction we're going. If we're to start off our children in the way they should go, if we ourselves are supposed to be going in a direction and we don't know really what that direction is, we're just trying to be good, that's okay, but it can be great with a little bit of intention. So, questions for this week. Have we been parenting with the end in mind, or have we simply been reacting? And number two, what direction should we be sending our kids? Relationally, emotionally, spiritually, educationally, whatever it is. Now come back for week number two next week, because we're gonna start talking about the four different stages of parenting. We're gonna talk about consequences, discipline. We're going to talk about creating a faith of their own. These are things over the next few weeks. I'm excited about this series. Quite frankly, I think Katie needs to hear a lot of this stuff. But that's the question and the homework for today. Let's decide, where are we headed? Are we going in the right direction? Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are and for your word and the wisdom that's in the scriptures. God, I thank you that you give it to us. Help us, Lord, to study, to show ourselves approved. Lord, study so that we even know what we're doing. Help us, Lord, to be bold enough to have these conversations. God, help us to be secure in who we are and who you've made us to be. Not worry about mistakes that we've made in the past, Lord, but start now. Let's be intentional now. God, thank you for who you are and how you lead us. Lord, help us now to take that and put it into action. In your name I pray. Amen.